Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 reads, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before your throne asking for your blessings on your word, Lord, that you might guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in truth and spirit. Bless the service tonight. May you be honored and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title of the message is just the second part of that. We might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And these are the things that God wants us really to understand, to enjoy our relationship with him. And so tonight we want to look at four thoughts: demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Secondly, we'll look at God's intention concerning the saved. And then prepared, the things that are prepared for those who love God. And then lastly, a revelation of God to those God has prepared. A revelation of God to those that God has prepared. And so God is wanting to do a work in our lives. And let me ask you this question. Do you think God needs anybody to worship him? Do you think God needs anybody to make him complete? He is all complete in himself. He has created us to enjoy him. That's amazing when you stop to think about it. He has created us to bring us to himself, those who are willing, those who are wanting that relationship. God does not force himself on anybody. Jesus did not plead with people to follow him. He basically said when they wanted to follow him, he said, "Hey, listen, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He didn't make any bones or try to encourage anybody to follow him. He said, "I want you to know, if you follow me, it's not going to be a very comfortable ride to the flesh. It's not going to be a comforting thing, but it is going to be the purpose of life found, the fulfillment of our creation understood." And so that's what God is wanting these believers. And by the way, you and I today, did the Lord know we would be here tonight? Isn't that amazing? The Lord knew we would be here tonight. The Lord knows, and sometimes, and we need to be reminded of this, we don't always realize it, the Lord knows everything that is in our way and in our life. And he is wanting us to help us in those things. We don't always know, we don't always understand. Have you ever felt abandoned by God? Have you ever felt, why is this happening to me at this particular time? There could be couldn't there have been a better time or a better way to do this? I mean, listen, I don't think we're much different than the disciples. "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven? Wouldn't that be a good idea, Lord? They've rejected you in this city, in this town. Wouldn't you like for us to call fire down from heaven?" You remember the Lord's answer? "You know not what spirit you're of." You don't know what spirit. "The Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save." And so God is wanting us, he's wanting to show us his way. And we have an amazing, merciful God that is very patient and long-suffering. And he knows our frailties, and he wants to guide us into his truth. So tonight, we're going to pick up in chapter 2, and notice what he's revealing to these believers at Corinth, this church at Corinth, by the way, that got off track, that was following God according to the way that they thought, and was missing God. And God is now here through the Apostle Paul redirecting them. And I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but he is wanting them to understand, listen, there are a lot of preachers, but if anybody should have any say in your life, it ought to be me that brought you the gospel and where you believed. I was the instrument that God used. He said, I've begotten you in the faith, right? I'm the one that God used to bring you into the faith. And so there ought to be a special relationship. Like I mentioned earlier this morning, I'm indebted and thankful to the fellow who led me to the Lord for his willingness and by the way, I did resist, and I've shared that with you. I was not open to it like you would like to have people be, and he did not give up on me.
Likewise, as we were talking about just a few moments ago about Brother Roger's brother Eli, who is older, right? The statistics are against him coming to the Lord. But praise God that he is stronger than statistics are. And somehow God had opened up his eyes and his heart to see his need of our Savior. And so we thank the Lord for that. So notice what it says here in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Paul had both. Paul was a good speaker, and Paul was a very wise man, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But he said, I didn't choose to use the natural realm. Notice he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a good place to be. What is there that we must be about? What's the most important thing to think about in our daily life if it's not Christ and him crucified? Christ, our Savior, and the price on the crucifixion that he paid for our redemption. And so he says, that's how I'm coming to you. Listen, that ought to bring us right back to square one. It's important that we start off at square one, I think, on a daily basis. Who am I, Lord, that you paid the price for the penalty of my sin, that I might have eternal life? Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, did Paul have cause to be afraid of them? Not for a minute. Not for a minute. But he came. Why did he come that way? Because he was concerned about their willingness to understand the truth. And that, were they saved? Yes, they were saved people. But listen, even after salvation, we can get caught up in ourselves. And we can forget about the Lord and the things of God. And so that's what he was concerned about, that they might be open to understanding and hearing the truth, not just understanding and hearing the truth, but receiving it and allowing God to apply it to their lives, that they might walk in God's ways and not in the ways that we would think. We could pat ourselves on the back. How about tonight we preach about all the other churches in the world that don't know Jesus and that are wrong and we're right? How about that? Can we do that? Can we talk about all the other religions that do not believe in salvation by grace through faith, and we can pat ourselves on the back that we believe the truth? And listen, what good would that do for us? All that does, listen, if you look at these disciples, hey, I want you to know, I listen to Apollos. Oh, listen, I listen to Paul. Oh, listen, I listen to Peter. And then you had this other group that said, we only listen to Jesus. They lost perspective on the work of God, of grace in their life. We can walk around and we can discuss what other people do and other people don't do, and we can miss God completely. See, if we worry about what we're doing, we'll never see what God wants to do in our lives. And what I mean by that is if we start comparing ourselves by ourselves, we won't be wise. Now listen, are there false churches in the world? There are false churches in the world. But you know what? God said, don't worry about that. What is that to thee, Peter? Follow me. Listen, the Lord knew they were going to be there. But that's not our focus, is it? Listen, what we should be concerned about is Christ crucified and he being and living in and through our lives and being in our lives. And so we look at this and we find that he says, listen, I was concerned. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but listen, in demonstration. And notice, demonstration of the Spirit, that's capitalized, and of power. He said, I wanted to make sure that God was in the middle of this. And so here we find the demonstration of the Spirit of God and his power. Listen, what does the Spirit of God do? It exalts Christ, does it not? So, question, if the Spirit of Christ is in you and I, and he is if we're saved children, what should he do? What is he going to do? He's going to exalt Christ. And you see what happened here? They started exalting man. And at the same time, they were dishonoring men. Some they lifted up, some they didn't. And then Paul said, what do you say, boy? He said, I'm glad you guys have things so backwards. I'm afraid some of you think that I was coming to you and baptizing in my name those that were being saved. Man, if that's not confusion and going off course and missing everything that God wants us to see, and they were off track. And listen, today, may we be on track by the grace of God and realizing that the important thing is that Christ's Spirit is in us. And if that's the case, then Christ ought to be exalted in our lives. And then we go on here in verse 5, and we find God's intention concerning the saved. Look what it says here in verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but how? In the power of God. Listen to that again in verse 5. This is God's intention concerning the saved. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to apostles. He's not talking to just preachers. He's not talking to Sunday school teachers. He's talking to the whole church, to every believer here in the Corinthian church. He said that your faith in verse 5 should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why did Paul have to address that? Because that's where they were at. And why did God see fit to put it in the canon of Scripture? Because we naturally have the potential of allowing that to take place. We start looking in the wrong direction instead of to the Lord. And so he wants us to understand that he says, listen, that our faith, and specifically to the Corinthian church, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Don't use the natural wisdom, but look for the power of God, and the power of God through the Holy Spirit, that's the dunamos power to the believer, the dynamite power that exalts Christ. We cannot exalt, listen, let me ask you the question, can we exalt Christ in our strength? We may wish to do so with all of our might, it will fall flat. It will fall flat. It must be God and his grace in us. And that's an important truth that Paul was wanting these believers to understand. Look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or they're maturing, they're growing in the grace of God, yet not the wisdom of this world. Listen, there are some people that want to understand more, that are hungering and thirsting more for the grace of God. And really, that ought to be every believer. And if that's not there, Lord, give me a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness. That's a wonderful prayer. I mentioned some time ago that when we pray, we ought to expect to meet with our Heavenly Father. That's important. I said, be careful about a laundry list of a prayer request. Now, let me clarify that. There is nothing wrong with a laundry list. I have one. I've had one for many years. I've got a lot of family members I want to see saved, and I bring them before the Lord every day. Every day. I have some things I want to see in my life. I bring those things before the Lord. And God blesses those things, and he works on those things. But listen, may we realize that it is our relationship with God that is of the, that we might meet with him is of the utmost importance. And so he says, I want you to know that, listen, we're speaking to those who are seeking to grow in the grace of God there in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom to them that are perfect or maturing in Christ, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Those things, spiritually speaking, are going to come to nothing. And by the way, listen, even if we can have things come to pass on this side of eternity that are natural, what will it matter when it's all said and done? If we could gain the world, but we lose our soul, or we don't have a relationship with Christ, in eternity there will be no value to it. So God is saying, make a wise investment. Invest in the things that will give you an eternal return forever. On this side of eternity, in your personal walk and relationship with the Lord, and eternity when you face the Savior face to face. And so he says in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And by the way, that means something hidden. And he says this, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Did you see that? Listen, don't miss that. Listen to what God is saying. Paul is saying that he is speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, something that's hidden and only revealed to those that are seeking it. So let me try to explain it like this, and I'll refer back to David because we've been talking about him. Did the other soldiers that were shaking in the trench understand the victory of God in their lives? No, they didn't understand it. It could have been theirs, but there was a relationship that was missing. Something was missing where they were in fear. Now, God was working through David. Did David understand God's deliverance? Do you think David would have you be impressed with him and his confidence? Or did he say, God who delivered the lion and the bear will deliver this giant? That's what he said to Saul, King Saul. He said, I want you to know the same God is faithful to take care of this. So he had, as a young man, he had a growing relationship, an experiential relationship, a substantial relationship, substantiating relationship with the Lord. God was doing a work that David could not deny, and it gave him that faith. And that's the same. Listen, God does not want us to attempt things not knowing that he'll be there for us. When the Lord said, get into the boat, we're going to go on the other side, and the storm rose up. When the Lord told the disciples to get into the boat, did he know the storm was coming? And where was the Lord? You remember where the Lord was? He was asleep. Remember what the disciples said? Lord, don't you care? We perish. We're going to perish. And the Lord didn't say the ride wasn't a rough one. Fathom this thought. How can you die in a boat that the Lord's in? How can you die in a boat that God has... God was in their presence. And by the way, God directed them to go. And so God held them, and now they didn't. And I will tell you this. I will tell you this because I know myself. I understand where they're coming from. We can say that. But listen, may we learn something here. May we grow in this place. I promise you this. Listen, when Peter preached and 3,000 souls got saved, he had come to a place where he was further along in his understanding when he had difficulties and trials come into his life. He was not so concerned about his life anymore, because I'll remind you that they imprisoned Peter. Do you remember that? And the believers were praying for his release. And the Bible says the angel smote him, woke him up. He was in prison. No doubt his life was on the line, and he was sleeping. Do you think Peter learned the lesson that if when he was in God's hand, he could rest? Isn't that amazing? And then the angel said, "Come on, get up. And he went through the guards, and he gets outside, and he comes to himself. Right? He thought he was seeing things himself, but he was at rest. God was working in his life. And so he comes to where the disciples are at, and he's knocking. And Rhoda, if you remember her, comes to the door, and she didn't even open the door for him. She runs back and tells the other disciples that Peter's at the door. And all the other disciples, you remember what they did? Oh, well, let him in. Come on, he's probably hungry. No, what do they do? You're seeing things, Rhoda. I mean, I know we're praying for his release. But that's a spirit or something. You've got it backwards. No, she had it right. And so listen, the confusion even amongst God's people can be a hindrance to what God is wanting to do. We have to be in a place to where we're pliable by the grace of God, that he can lead us along, because we don't know the way. And yet when we walk like we know the way, you know what happens? Things enter into our life and we're scratching our heads. What's going on? This wasn't supposed to happen. But when we walk trusting the Lord because we don't know the way, then we're trusting the Lord and all the experiences that come along with it. And that's something that we have to bring before the Lord that to work out in our lives. And listen, Peter, because of his failures, because he ran in front of the Lord and he denied the Lord three times, and he really did think, I think he thought, I probably would have thought the same thing, that God was done with him. And the Lord tells the ladies to go tell the disciples that he's risen, and Peter also. Why did the Lord do that? The Lord knew that Peter needed a personal invitation because he thought God was done with him. Listen, here's an important truth. God is never done with you. He will never be done with you. He did not give us his son to cut us off somewhere along the way. Now, we might feel that way, but that's not God. That's not our God. Don't let the devil or the flesh fool you. You can always come to the Lord. So he says, I want you to know we speak the wisdom of God, verse 7, in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, listen, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The wisdom of God, it was something created for us to glorify in us our Heavenly Father. It's what God wants to do. And so, again, God's intention, this is God's intention concerning the saved. Look at verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. So here we have the people of this world, the princes of this world, walking in their own confidence, and they miss God completely because they never thought they needed to ask the Lord for direction. And then notice this preparation, what's prepared for those who love God. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. By the way, these things that are prepared are for us to enjoy today. Oh, yeah, I know. He's got things for us. And it does imply the eternal things that he has prepared that we've not seen yet. But specifically, he's talking about the things that glorify the Lord that were ordained before the world that would be manifested in through our lives, the testimony of the Lord in our lives. And then lastly, let's take note of this revelation of God to those that he has prepared. Now, has God prepared? Does God want to work with every believer that he saves? Does God have a plan for every believer? He does. Does God want to bring us along to walk in those truths and to experience his grace? He does. He wants us to grow in that. So notice verse 10. And notice, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What things? What has he revealed to us? The things that eye has not seen or ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God has things for you and I to enjoy that he has prepared before we were even created. You ever stop to think how that works? God did not create us and then come up with a plan. God came up with a plan and then created us. I hope you like that. Listen. God came up with a plan and knew everything that we were going to do. In eternity past, he knew what we were going to do. And he had the plan before we were around. That tells me, listen, that's amazing, really. Only God can do that. The plan is stronger than anything we can do. What do I mean by that? God will be glorified. He has chosen to glorify himself in and through our lives. We have the opportunity to allow him to fulfill his will in us. But here's the truth. Regardless whether we yield to him or not, God is going to glorify himself in the lives of those believers that give themselves to him. Isn't that what he said? If you present yourselves a living sacrifice, God said he's going to do some things. We just have to be willing to present ourselves and say, yes, Lord, work that out in my life. Now watch this. But God, verse 10 again, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. And notice this, yea, the deep things of God. So according to the scripture, are there deep things of God? Can you find them on your own? No, we can't find them on our own. But there are deep things that God will reveal to us. Notice this, and then he gives this explanation here in verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, remember the spirit of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Remember we discussed that this morning. You can tell we understand each other to a certain degree. We know if we're sad, we know if we're happy. And I mentioned that parents know even their children even to a greater degree than what we can see. And then it gets even deeper than that, right? Moms know things in their children and can see things that maybe dads can't see and understand, to a certain degree. And so God is saying, just as we can understand those things in man by the spirit of man, he also wants us to understand. Look at verse 11 again. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, likewise, the things of God knoweth no man, we don't know it, but the Spirit of God. Does the Spirit of God indwell the believer? So we have direct access to revelations, don't we? By the Spirit of God. Notice this, verse 12. Now we have received, we could just stop right there. Everybody who is a saved child of God has received the Holy Spirit. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You have everything that you need. Some people are going to, you ever heard this expression? You got to pray it through, brother. You got to pray it through. That means you got to pray through the night until God gives you something that you already have. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Let's just say this flower pot here, a vase and this flower, what do you call this?
Arrangement.
An arrangement. Sorry, couldn't think of it. This arrangement, let's just say, for the sake of illustration, it has life. And here's its prayer. Oh God, make me an arrangement. Oh God, make me an arrangement. Would that be a good prayer? It already is an arrangement. And so listen, oh God, give me your spirit. Well, you already have the spirit. So maybe I just need God to enlighten me on what he's already given me. And to walk in that and not by my feelings. I'll let you in on a little secret. Sometimes I walk in my feelings. And they can get stepped on. My feelings can get stepped on. My feelings can get hurt. But am I walking in the Spirit when I'm walking by my feelings? I can feel things and think things. Have you ever done that? That aren't true. Have you ever been fearful of something happened that never came to pass? And all that time you spent fearing, you lost the quality of joy. Of God's joy. You ever stop to think about that? Because we're fearful of something that never happened. The disciples were fearful they were going to drown. They were going to perish. Did they perish? No. And so Peter finally gets a handle on that, an understanding. I'm in God's hands. I don't need to fear this prison. In fact, you know what? I'm in God's hands. And he was out sleeping. I love it. The Bible says the angel smote him. I don't know if that meant, you know, how hard that smote was, but I consider it more than just a little. He was sound asleep. He was resting in the truth that God held him in his hands. God wants us all to be there. That gives God the glory, and that gives us the testimony that we have confidence in our God. So he says, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. May we know the things that God has already given to us and walk in those things. And then notice verse 13, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man... Now, we think a lot of times we think that this is talking about people that don't know the Lord. That's applicable, but notice this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why would God tell that to believers? Because we have the potential of walking in the natural man, don't we? Were the disciples in the natural realm or the spiritual realm when they were fearing for their lives on the boat? They were in the natural. They were taking things naturally. And they could not see the things that were spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He's giving that information for us to understand not to walk in the natural realm, or we will not receive and know all the things that God has freely given us. And lastly, we have two more verses left here. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual. Now he's talking about those who are walking in the Spirit. We have the potential of being in the natural realm, do we not? Is there ever any victory in the natural realm? Is there ever really any long-lasting joy in the natural realm? No. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? He's saying this, listen, that he may instruct him. Listen, but we have the mind of Christ. Listen to this question. The Lord is wanting us to hear this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Nobody. No one. No one. Does that mean Paul as well? Yeah. Did Paul need to be reliant on the Spirit or miss God? Do we need to be reliant upon the Lord or miss the Lord? Yeah. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And then Paul says this. But we have the mind of Christ. That is amazing. That is amazing. How do we have the mind of Christ in the Spirit? Do you believe that? These are the things that God wants us to know that he has freely given to us of himself. That we might walk in those things. Now, if it's up here, if it's just up in the head, as soon as we walk out the door, it's gone. We have to say, God, I don't want it just to be up in my head. Lord, I want to walk in those things. I want you to do that work in me. It's not something that we can make happen. It's something that we say this, ready? I see your word. I want the faith to believe that and ask you to do that in my life. Everything that we see in the word of God, God is wanting us to say, yes, Lord, I see that. Listen, all the things that we read about tonight, were they not intended for the believer? These are the things that God has freely given to us. When? Tomorrow? In heaven? Or at salvation? Did Peter have all of the faith that was when Peter got saved? Did he have all the faith needed to believe in the Lord? He did. He didn't always use it. We don't always use it. Sometimes the Lord was doing things and he would say to the disciples, "What, O ye of what? Little faith." It shouldn't be that way. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. He also says this, though. Listen, the four men that let the paralytic individual down through the tile of the meeting place there. Remember that story? And when he saw their faith. He said, you remember what he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And man, oh man, did the Pharisees and the religious crowd have a conniption fit, didn't they? Who is this that could forgive sins? And so the Lord, being gracious, says to them, what's easier? What's easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk? And so the answer was, it's easy. Anybody can say thy sins be forgiven, but only God could say, rise up and walk. And he said, rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked, didn't he? And did those Pharisees believe on him? Nope. Because of the hardness of their heart, they rejected the truth. And because of the hardness of the heart of the Corinthian believers, they all got hung up in the natural realm. we can harden our hearts and miss what God wants to do. And we can miss all the things that He has freely given to us if we harden our hearts. But if we say, oh God, I don't want to miss a single thing that You've promised me. I want to enjoy. I want to have those things that You've given to me. Ask Him. Because if you seek, ye shall what? And if you ask, we'll receive from the Lord. Why? Because He is gracious. He is merciful. I don't say that we deserve those things. He's not saying that we deserve those things. But He is saying, because I love you, I want you to have those things. Who are we going to trust tonight? What we think, how we feel, or what God has said? That's the matter of faith, isn't it? I'm going to have faith in how I feel or what I think, or I'm going to put my faith. It's a little bit uncomfortable. It's unnatural in God's hands. But that's supernatural, isn't it? That goes above the natural realm, and that's spiritual. And we'll never make a mistake to say, yes, God, fulfill Your will in us. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of being Your children and for all the things that You've promised to reveal and to give to us, that You've already done so. And Lord, I pray that You would open up our understanding spiritually, that we might receive all the things You intend us to have, that You might be glorified in and through our lives. Bless the invitation. May You be honored and glorified. May we realize it's our privilege to call upon You to fulfill Your will that You've created us for. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.